as Christians, we need to be aware of the moving of the Holy Spirit and to be flexible with where He's trying to lead us. Let's begin today's CNV with this from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Are you a person that is willing to improvise to get done what the Lord wants done? Or are you very rigid, and unless it works out so that everything's perfect, you're not going to do it? But when the Holy Spirit starts moving, we have to start going with the flow, Daddy-O. We need to be right with Him every step of the way.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
As we continue this in-depth study of the Gospel of Mark, we focus on the life and work of Christ. Although we will not be called upon to die for the sins of the world, we are called upon to be examples of Christ's love and compassion and forgiveness. It's through the studying of His Word and being led by His Spirit that we are able to accomplish our task. Important lessons of encouragement are ahead as we hear part two of our lesson. Let's join Mike as he continues now in Mark chapters 2 and 3.
Now, it's interesting that this man seems to be older for some reason. I don't know why, because he has the money for a facility by the beach. But I want you to think of this for a moment, how God uses us in the different stages of our lives. And don't be afraid to get older, because it's the greatest stage, actually. I'm the world's oldest living boy, but I am really enjoying the older things in life, because you can get away with more. And you can say things that you wouldn't have said when you're younger. Think of this. Jesus is walking down the road, and a centurion comes to Him. A centurion bows his knee to Caesar and tells him that he will lay his life down for him. They are not promised wealth and big salary raises. They are going to be humble warriors, but they serve directly under the authority of the Caesar. So this one comes along and stops Jesus, and he said, "Lord, my servant is homesick." Remember that story? And he said, "I also am a man of authority." And Jesus said, "Well, I shall go and heal him." That was an immediate response. And he said, "You don't have to do that. I'm a man of like authority. I say to this soldier, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come here, he comes here. You just say the word, and I know that he'll be healed." You remember that? That was a very interesting contact. And Jesus said, "Okay, go your way." As he's going home, somebody comes up and says, "Hey, your servant was healed. What time was that?" It was about the time that Jesus said, "Go your way." Then do you remember a couple years later, a centurion is in charge of a group of people that are going to execute the Lord Jesus. And those soldiers nail him to a cross. He was tired, he was drained, he was weary. So when you get exhausted and worn out, realize Jesus was too. I mean, he had blood pouring out of him. He had dehydrated. He was getting weak in the flesh. And do you remember that he fell down under the weight of the cross? And some of you are bearing your cross quite well and godly, and sometimes we fall to the ground from the weight of the cross that we've been asked to carry. And there's an interesting situation that a military command said Simon, a Cyrenian, was coming across the open field. One of the Gospels says the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, you read about Alexander and Rufus in the epistles, and you wonder, when Luke wrote that, they compelled him to help Jesus bury his cross. And the word in the original language for compelled is literally a military command or order, which means this man used the authority of the throne of Caesar in Rome, telling this Cyrenian man to help Jesus. I don't know if you recognize him because he was a secret believer or something, but Luke knew who he was, definitely a Cyrenian. I find it very, very interesting that God had people that would love and serve Jesus, and their sons would do the same thing from Cyrene. Because you're very familiar of it with another name. Think of this. A lot of Americans died. Cyrene is a neighborhood next to Benghazi. God was already working in Benghazi and Cyrene before we had that tragedy of where we lost some Navy SEALs from San Diego. We lost an ambassador. It was horrible. Admirals and high-ranking officers were dismissed because they were going to go against the president's orders. And they knew, we've got to rescue these people. And they were told to stand down. And they were just put in either out of the military or they got demoted. Something very weird went on there. But how weird from this man that had walked all the way from Libya to Jerusalem. He's walking in the open field, coming across. And they say, pick up this cross. And you remember when the veil was rent in two and it was dark? And all of a sudden, the Lord gives up the Holy Ghost. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. Then we come to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened inside the house of Cornelius. And his believers, his neighbors and friends were in there. It says that he gave alms. In fact, the angel said to him, your alms have come up to heaven for a memorial. Think of that when you give a tithe. A memorial in heaven. Don't know what it is. Maybe it's a new roof on your mansion up there. I don't know what it is. But he takes note of our giving. I wonder, and I'm only wondering, because I always like to try to figure things out in light of how the Lord would do it as opposed to how I might do it. I wonder if this is the same man that came to him and said, I have a servant at home that's sick. Just say the word. Oh, he was the Son of God. He is. I had an angel tell me to send for you, Peter, and we're here for whatever God has. I wonder if we watched his spiritual growth. Stood a little bit afar off from Jesus, but knew he could go to him. He was approachable. Knew that he could talk with him. And he had faith that Jesus could heal him. It's interesting how the Lord works. Paul told Timothy as a young minister, great is the mystery of godliness. It is a great mystery. He's not asking us to be perfect till we get to heaven. We're not going to be perfect, but we can unravel a mystery and we can learn about a mystery. And so don't let the mystery of godliness hold you back. Don't let the devil talk you into not picking up this book and reading it every day. The more you read it, the more faith you get. The more faith you get, God can use you. The more he uses you, you get more faith, you get more word, he uses you again. So here we have this picture, no longer any room to receive. And then they came to him, bringing the paralytic, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, broken through, imagine a home Bible study. I'm assuming you've all at one time been in a home Bible study. When Calvary Chapel first started, Orange County had, we had hundreds in San Diego, so I think there are thousands in Orange County. And the move of God really went from Pastor Chuck's teaching to people opening the Bible for themselves and then homes being filled. And I've been in home Bible studies where there's three people and where there were just like this. San Diego ended up, started in a home Bible study, but there was no room. In fact, before we moved out a week or two, after it had grown from 10 people to about 150, if you were in the living room and got there an hour early, you could be right there where the Bible study is happening. Otherwise, you'd sit in the doorway or in the hallway left, going to where the bedrooms are, or straight down the hallway into the kitchen till the final two or three Monday nights, people in the backyard. And so they would hear the Bible study and turned to their friend that was by the doorway, who had turned to their friend that was sitting close to people going down the hallway, and those sitting that way at that junction in the small house would go to the kitchen, and from the kitchen they go out in the backyard and tell people. A home fellowship and a home prayer meeting is a fantastic experience when the Holy Spirit's there. Because one-on-one, you get to know one another, and you begin to see people's gifts. And as you see their gifts, you see how you can work together and do things. So these guys, this group, four of them, has the sick man. They start ripping the roof off. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go to somebody's home Bible study and rip their roof off. That would be a little rough to take, but I guess if a miracle happened because of the roof being opened up, it might work. But dirt had to start falling through the ceiling, the hole, the grass, pieces of tile, people ducking from what was falling down there. The woman of the house was probably getting upset because she had vacuumed all afternoon to get the whole place, done for the crowd getting there. And maybe the coffee and the punch they had in the bowl got some of that sawdust there. It's not a clean, pristine situation to be a Christian man or woman. You've got to be ready in season and out of season. We have to be ready all the time. It's not just we set aside an hour and we gather somewhere. No, it's from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep. And once you start walking in the Spirit, you'll have more texts, more email, more phone calls, more people bumping into you at the restaurant or in Costco. And I had a man call and leave a message for me. This happened this week. He works for the Toyota dealership. And I thought he was calling to say that Sandy's Toyota needed to be serviced. He said, I'm really in need of your help. Huh, okay. He needs my help. That's a slick way to say, bring your car in so I can get a commission. So I was skeptical of what he was up to. So finally he called and I said, I do need to get Sandy's car fixed. He was just diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. And it has really rocked his world. And the fact that me, a customer, would come to his mind is a blessing to me. So when I got there, we didn't talk about changing the oil and rotating the tires. I did ask him to wash it, though. We didn't talk about any of that. He was frightened. I said, are you praying? No, I can't pray. Oh, okay. Well, I'm here, and I'll walk you through this whole situation. I wouldn't go by a tombstone just yet. And you're fearful, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us love, power, and a sound mind. Now, the people waiting in line to get their Toyota service, we're getting a good Bible study, actually. They didn't come there for that, but I took advantage of it. Be open, and don't be embarrassed. I know that this man has my number. He has my email. He can text me. He can call me day or night, because obviously God touched him. Who can I talk with? Oh, I've got that customer. I think he's kind of a religious guy, I think. Nicole, let the Lord use you as a person out of the blue that other people will look to you. And maybe they've never said a kind word to you or have ever acknowledged you. They just are checking out your groceries every week. But let God use you that when their time comes, they'll talk with you. It's a great experience because you realize how much God loves people. That's the most fantastic part of being a believer. God first loved us, not that we first loved him. God was in Christ Jesus on the cross, reconciling the world back to himself. And to think that he'd use you or me to reconcile somebody back to him, what an honor. What a privilege that we have. To love him back, but that he will use us for his honor and for his glory. Now, they upset the Bible study, I'm sure. When Jesus saw their faith, that's a lifelong verse if you've never seen it before. Would you underline it in the person's Bible sitting on your right side? Just reach over and say, excuse me, and just underline it in their Bible. You'll always remember it, and so will they. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus saw their faith. When you see the word there, does it include the man's faith? Or is it just the faith of the four that brought him? Or is it the man who had the faith and said to four friends that could pick him up and carry him, would you take me? But by the time they got there, if it was just the man's faith, the word now becomes their faith. Something happened. Now, Anne Graham Lotz has a husband who's in heaven tonight, Danny Lotz. Danny grew up in New York City. He played the trumpet on the street corners on the weekends and Saturdays, and his father would preach and lead people to the Lord in New York City. Kind of a great way to wake up, huh? Not just wake up, but to stand out and preach. So since he's a little boy, he was an evangelist. And at his graveside several months ago, there might have been 50 men, because he always had 50 to 150 men that he was discipling every week. And they would take turns of who would take him four times a week for dialysis. Now think of that. This man had four people that were able to grow in their faith because of his illness. God's ways are not our ways. We can feel sorry for ourselves. We can get frightened of death. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we're told the last enemy to overcome is death. That's the last enemy to a believer is death. And yet Jesus says in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation to the apostle John, behold, I stand with the keys to death and Hades, to hell. He's conquered death. He's taken the keys away that would lock you up in a cell in the bowels of the earth because of your sins, and he set you free. So don't be a Eeyore, woe is me because things aren't going well. No, God can use what's not going well in your life to build the faith of other people. Like a lady last week that we all prayed for, stage 4 cancer. Her concern more so than her cancer was her 16-year-old daughter who's got a great fever. And she came here and we prayed for her, of course, but we ended up praying for the 16-year-old daughter. The mother has accepted, apparently. Wouldn't you say, Rob? She understands where she is with her illness. Yeah? Okay. So, yeah? Back over there? Yeah. So, look at life differently. I was in the Vatican one time helping on a mission. The Lord has special mission things that he does. And I was meeting with a man, a Monsignor, in their government area. He was, he explained, he was the desk, the Middle East desk. So he represented the Catholic Church in the Middle East. And, of course, we had some Americans in Lebanon. And I was in this little stone archaic chapel, not very big, next to the hallway that led to all the rooms for the council, laying in interventions and government stuff going on. And I thought, man, there's a lot of heritage here. So I started singing a song. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. And Monsignor came in and said, shh, this is a holy place. Yes, and that's why I'm singing praise the Lord. Shh, it's a holy place. So I said, okay. So then 2 or 3 minutes go by, and I'm just been praying for weeks for this meeting, and so I started whistling praise the Lord. And he came in. Shh, this is a holy place. Shh. And I can remember sitting in I don't know how many Bible studies and how many years with Pastor Chuck, and he always said, you are the holy place. Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? I was just having some fun. But their type of fun and my type were two different things at the time. And I wanted to say, but Pastor Chuck says, I'm the holy place. I'm sure the Vatican had heard a lot about Pastor Chuck Says. He did his job well. So immediately, problems come up. Some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Look at that, reasoning, thinking this through. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Question one. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Question two. But immediately, there it is again, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. So the spirit that God has given you, filled with the Holy Spirit, has perception. And you can perceive what people are imagining or what's going on. He said to them, question. He got to it before they even mouthed it out. Imagine how shocked they are. Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? How do you know that? Does he have Google or something? Which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Which one's easier? Well, word-wise, your sins are forgiven. Less words. But that isn't the issue. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, looking right at him, not to the four, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose. He took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all, and you may want to underline or circle, all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Amazing, huh? So we can't think like he thinks. We can't act like he acts. I have 20 grandkids and 6 great grandkids, and these 4 beautiful granddaughters that are adults. One of the sisters just graduated from high school. So their mother was a child that I had as a 16-year-old, and we found her only several years ago, but I never knew her really, and found out she lived in the desert not far from where we were. We tracked her down and introduced myself, and we've been super friends ever since. Well, the 2 oldest girls, one was 5 and the other was 4. And their personalities today are exactly as that first night. So Joy tucked them in, had a cassette player with praise music going on. And the girls are in there. I said, you know, I've always prayed for my children. When I became a Christian, I lay hands on every one of them individually every night when I'm home. Would you mind if I went and prayed with my granddaughters? And she said, absolutely not. So I go in, and now Whitney is the all-time character. And Tara, she is a little bit more subdued, but both of them were captains on the water polo team at their high school. So they know how to rough it up and be tough. So Whitney's laying there, and the music is playing, and they just have met me for the first time. I kneel down beside the bed, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I put my hands on Whitney's forehead. I said, dear Lord, and she moved my hand and said, what do you think you're doing? And she's 4 years old. What do I think I'm doing? And I said, I'm blessing you. She said, go to your own house and bless yourself. That was a 4-year-old. So they're reasoning in their hearts. Why are you reasoning? Everyone's amazed, glorifies God. And he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. He said, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and we'll never run out of the word many when it comes to tax collectors and sinners.
It looks as though we won't have time to finish this message, so we'll hear the balance of it on our next broadcast. Perhaps today's teaching has been especially valuable to you, and you may want more spiritual direction at this time. Let me suggest that you log on to our website and look under the Know God link to find immediate instruction on a number of fundamental spiritual issues. Just go online at MikeMacintosh.com. Well, in its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know the daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. Then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Join us on our next broadcast as we continue with this series from the Gospel of Mark with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.